At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show. Quick weekend wrap-up before we get into NBA Game 2 of the Finals. So, last night we had the Florida Panthers win a 3-0 shutout against the Oilers. Realistically, even though it was 3-0, it was an empty netter at the end. The Oilers were the better team last night. That's not a good precursor for the series, the way Florida won it, because the Oilers had the better pace of play, were getting more shots, were getting more shot attempts, and by and large, were beating Florida to the punch. The issue was, Edmonton, for whatever reason, decided to put their worst defensive pairing back together again, even though it burned them multiple times in the playoffs. Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci cannot be paired together the rest of the playoffs if Edmonton actually wants to win the Stanley Cup. Bottom line, they were directly responsible for giving up 2 goals. And I think they put out the stat, and it's like, it's actually kind of crazy that Darnell Nurse is now a minus 15 for the playoffs. I really can't put a finger on it. Just in turn, it's like, it's not egregiously bad play, except for the second goal. The second goal was bad. There's no back check by Nurse. CeCe gets, like, just bullied off the puck. The second goal was bad. So I will say that. It's like, the second goal was borderline indefensible. But by and large, I have to still say that Edmonton should not be that disappointed by the loss. Truth be told, when you consider the circumstances, you're on the road, the crowd is pumped up, Panthers coming off a decent amount of rest as well as the Oilers. That was still high-level hockey being played. It's just that it's attention to detail. That's how Florida should win this series. That's what I felt going in. But the fact that the Oilers were the better team for, I would say, a good 35 minutes of that contest. Realistically, like, even you could say, argue, like, some of it was relatively evenly matched. I thought clearly the Oilers were the better team for over half the game, which is not usual when you see a team get shut out. So that's why it was a strange game, because even though Florida won the game and it was a shutout, I still think they got outplayed at home. So, going into Game 2, Monday night, what I am very much interested in is just what tweaks Florida makes. Because if they roll out the same lineup, I think Edmonton wins, Tributon. I think they get the split. If Florida rolls out the same lineups, you know Edmonton's going to make some tweaks in the defensive pairings. But if they play that out again, I have a hard time seeing how Florida holds home ice advantage and wins both games without any tweaks, because the run of play was favoring the Oilers in that matchup. So again, it's folks will get caught up in the box score, and just kind of looking at the lines just ahead of tomorrow's game, Florida is still going to be favored. They were at minus 135, but the Edmonton line is plus money at 115, you know, it's not a terrible dog pick, and Vegas is even recognizing the run of play from Edmonton. That's why this line is so tight, because realistically, Florida got outplayed. It's more felt more fortunate that Bobrovsky was on top of his game, made a number of tough saves, and got it done. And Florida was able to kill off the power play for the Oilers. That's not a winning strategy. Florida got called for a number of penalties that I'm sure Bruins fans and Rangers fans wanted during their playoff matchups. But that was a tricky game for the Panthers to navigate. They got the W, but the question is, I don't think it's a sustainable way of playing against the Oilers. I think they're going to have to change up a couple of things, but we'll see how that plays out. Moving on, we had PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler wins the Memorial. Boring tournament. I don't care what anyone says. It was a boring tournament. There's no sizzle. And we're going into the U.S. Open. I'm a little concerned because, again, you almost need the live guys in there to create some storylines. Like, the golf storyline, by and large, has been dominated by the Scottie Scheffler memes of him getting arrested. That's really the most impactful storyline overall about this PGA Tour season. Because there's nothing else. Like, we really haven't had that much in a way. It's been kind of ho-hum. Yes, Xander got a major. But again, even that major, it was such an easy course to shoot that it was more the case of, is Xander going to fumble it again than it being, you know, a dramatic finish. So the PGA Tour is lacking some sizzle heading into a major, and I don't really know what to put a finger on it. It's like, we'll see. We'll see if we get something. I'm less than enthusiastic about the prospects of the U.S. Open this week. We've got it at Pinehurst. Scheffler is a 4-1 favorite. You got Xander at 10-1. Brooks Koepka at 12-1. Imagine that. Brooks at 12-1, Rory's at 9-1, and Rahm's at 12-1 along with Brooks. I mean, the fact that we've got some of the live guys still there, you know, kind of tells you what we haven't seen on the PGA Tour. It's just the guys have not been there, like, outside of Åberg, and Åberg still deal with that knee injury. Like, to me, he hasn't looked healthy the last couple of weeks. That was the biggest issue. We'll see if we get anything out of Hovland and Morikawa, because both of them are at 18-1 and DeChambeau at 20-1. So, more to come with the U.S. Open, but I just, truth be told, not that I have my doubts on this being that riveting, of course. So, without much further ado, let's get into NBA Finals Game 2. Celtics dominated Game 1. You know, I want to say that I still feel as though this is a matchup where you had a standout performance by Kristaps Porzingis, but, you know, realistically, I think this is a case where, you know, when you look at the matchup, the Celtics are just able to spread the ball around on the Mavs, and a lot of this is coming down to Luka having to carry the load, because I just don't think Kyrie Irving is going to have that much of an impact this series. Kyrie was having difficulty getting a shot off. They had Drew Holiday on him. That was one thing I got wrong. They had Drew on Kyrie instead, and Kyrie just couldn't get it going. He was effectively neutralized, so we'll see if he can step it up. But to me, that's like one clear area. Like, without Kyrie Irving putting in 20 points, this is going to be a tough series for the Mavs. especially with as well as Kristaps Porzingis was moving around. KP moving around, and everyone's going to talk about the shooting. The shooting was one thing. It was the defense that was something else, because he's able to get to the boards, he's able to block. It's making life that much harder for the Mavs to attack the paint. So, yes, the Celtics were getting away with a lot of contact, and there were a number of fouls they could have called against Al Horford. Even with all that, this just looked brutal for the Mavs to play out. And so, again, I'm looking at Game 2 tonight. You can play Luka in the captain, and I don't believe the reports about the knee and him being questionable to play. He's going to play. My biggest issue is, unless Kyrie Irving does something, this is going to be a tough series for the Mavs to find a way to win. So, to me, I think Luka plays, close to 45 minutes, because I think they're going to try to ride him as much as they can and then use immediate timeouts for him to get his blow in, because I think they're going to need him to play that many minutes. So, in that context, I would say you're going to see Drew White, I'll say Drew Holiday and Derek White. That was like I'm combining names, but you're going to see both of them, at least one of them on the court pretty much at all times rotating out. So if Luka's there, one of them's going to guard Luka. If Kyrie's there, Drew's going to stay on Kyrie, but they're going to try to keep one of them out there the entire time. And then Jaylen Brown, defensively, he's been doing the job as well, just causing trouble for Luka, because even though Luka's getting his points, and I still think Luka probably drops 30-plus points again tonight, the issue is that it's going to be a struggle for Dallas unless somebody steps up. So if it's Kyrie, it's PJ Washington, someone's going to have to hit some threes. This is, I thought the Mavs would have the advantage early, and then Boston scales in the series. Boston has already scaled. It's like if Porzingis is moving around that well, defensively, the easy buckets that the Mavs have been able to get, those are gone. That's what's making this series so hard. They're going to need somebody to step up and hit some shots. So, to me, I look at this game more along the lines of Luka will hit some outside shots, and it really comes down to who can at least get a little bit more traction in terms of the gameplay. So I'm looking more for a Derek Jones Jr. to be a little bit more engaged in the offense at spurts. I think that's definitely going to be needed. In totality, like, this feels as though whether you're having Drew Holiday in the captain or Derek White in the captain, I think one of those guys probably gets you there, and then you make your choice between Tatum and Brown, because, it's tough, at least the way I look at it, it's tough for the Mavs to get the needed points, because, realistically, someone between Gafford, PJ Washington, or Lively, someone's got to break 20. At least to give the Celtics something to think about on the interior. The problem is, the way Porzingis is actually managing the interior and forcing the shot selections to be different than what the players want to be as direct with, This is turning into a bad look for. So again, it's a one game sample size, but what I expected for this series was Porzingis not to be fully ready to go, just because he did not look fully right even in the warmups. Now that's shown to be false. He can go. Is he going to hit the shots that he was hitting last game? If he does, it's a wrap. I think this is kind of setting up. It's like it's the mobility that he's had where he's able to move around and deter the shots. That's what's going to be just pain. And I mean absolute pain for the Mavs if someone can't stretch the court to get the Celtics moving. Because the way that's set up right now, like the refs are not calling fouls on Boston. So try to get a win in Boston seems task impossible for the Mavs right now. I think they got to get this to Dallas, get some home cooking with the refs, get Boston foul trouble. I don't see the scenario where they're going to get I don't see the scenario where they're going to get enough calls in the paint. And again, when you get into crunch time in the Garden, it's like you're going to need some calls to go your way. I'm not sure if Dallas is going to get it. So, to me, Luka's got to drop probably 40 and get one of these other guys, whether it's Lively, P.J. Washington, Daniel Gafford. Someone's got to break 20 in the post for the Mavs. To me, that's where it kind of comes down to, because if they don't get that scoring or some bench production with three-point shooting, to me, it's too easy for Boston to play this string out. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get into some DFS lineups and go from there.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Folks, our personal data is being distributed constantly, every day, without us ever doing business with a company. Data brokers are collecting people's personal information to sell it to any number of companies. They are gathering data from public records, databases, and your online activities and use it without you even knowing it. These guys have your name, address, email. And if you ever wonder how spammers keep getting your phone number, the answer is data brokers. So what can you do to protect yourself from this nightmare? Incogni steps in to repeatedly scrub your name off of any database tied to these guys, as long as you are a customer. They go through the hassle of engaging with these companies so you do not have to keep going through an endless chain of unsubscribe requests that go nowhere. Go to incogni.com and use discount code FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual membership. That's incogni.com/FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual plan. Let Incogni help ensure your data privacy today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, we are back. So let's get right down to it. With the lineups, I expect, and this is, you know, subject to change. Like, you know, there could always be a case where we don't get, you know, someone missing in the lineup. But I think they're going to run it back with the same lineup. So I you know, to me, it's not the it's not the end of the world. The way I look at this game is the fact that you have to kind of focus on Jrue Holiday and Derek White. Their salaries make it too manageable to fit in studs, and they're going to be proactive because of the defensive reasons I brought up. So Jrue Holiday essentially ends up being too cheap. He's at he's 6,600. And White is 7,200. So, with DraftKings format, that makes Holiday 9,900 and Derek White 10,800. It's too manageable to get the salaries in, because realistically, if you played Luka, he's 27 in 20,700 in the captain spot on DraftKings. You know, it's just Luka's salary at 13.8 in the flex. It's so much harder to make those lineups work because you need bench guys to have a big game. You need a Hauser to go off. You need a Jaden Hardy to go off to make Luka lineups work. I think the way this has to play out to make a Luka captain work, and to a lesser extent Tatum, it was like Tatum could get there, but Tatum's been more willing to defer. So even at 11,800, there's a chance that Jaylen Brown outscores Tatum again. I'm going to keep rolling with Tatum just because he's been more the primary facilitator and scorer for Boston. So I'd rather just pick and choose Tatum over Brown. I still don't agree with necessarily the approach of having both in the same lineup. I think it's too much salary versus what they comparatively do because they don't necessarily rebound or have enough assists to get the double doubles, the triple double numbers that you need when you're soaking up that much salary on two players. The way you can get double doubles and triple doubles from Luka, I think Luka's just too valuable in that regard. So, with that being said, I think the lineup play is, you know, you get Derek White, Drew Holiday, you have Luka there, you have Tatum there. You can make your decision between Gafford, Lively, PJ Washington, because I think someone on Dallas has to get it going on the interior. And then you take your shot with an outside shooter, whether it's a Maxi Kleba, Jaden Hardy. There are guys we can plug and play to make it work, but I think that's the route tonight, just based off of the salaries and what Boston's looking to do. I think you're going to have to like shift in that direction because the alternative is I think you're just not going to get enough points out of the entire lineup per se with some of these bench players to get there. Maybe you can play a Josh Green, but I think Peyton Pritchard might get more minutes than Green tonight. And it's not a guarantee that even Pritchard's going to do that well. I feel as though this is going to be a mostly starter series, and that until the pricing catches up where you're going to have a tough time fitting in both White and Drew Holiday, we got to take advantage of what we can right now. So to me, the play is you play White and Holiday together until further notice. One of them the captain, and you're still pairing the other because how much they're going to control makes a world of difference. And then even then, I still probably wouldn't abandon it once they start adjusting the pricing. It'll just force me to go to Jaylen Brown more than Tatum if it gets to that stage. But to me, your choice of Holiday, White, and the captain, Luka, then start pairing up your cheap punt to fit in Tatum, and then your choice of Mavs post player. I think that's the route tonight. I think Dallas keeps it close, but unless Kyrie drops 20-plus points, Dallas is going to lose this game. Like, they need Kyrie to put up numbers, and, you know, Luka needs help. It's like there's no getting around it. It's like Luka's going to be the best player on the court tonight, and it still won't matter because I think Boston is just too deep for what the Mavs have shown, at least out of their bench players. So, to me, we got to get more out of Lively. We got to get more out of Gafford. We got to get more out of PJ Washington. We don't get anything out of those rotational pieces in the post. this series not good. Like, Boston is just playing too well defensively, because Luka's having to go max effort, and I don't think Luka can score 40 or 50 points against the Celtics team, the way that they're defending right now. It's like the Celtics are just locked in from the standpoint of we've seen the Celtics flub games, and truth be told, if Dallas wins, there's a good chance Dallas wins in a blowout because the Celtics didn't take the game seriously. But it felt as though, at least from how Dallas tried to get back in late in game one and then the Celtics pulled away, that the Celtics are going to take this game seriously. So we're going to operate off of that mindset, because the narrative's already out there that the Celtics have dropped game two repeatedly against Miami and Indiana. And I think they lost game two against the Cavs. I got to double check that. I got to remember. I think they lost game two against the Cavs. But, you know, it's just, I honestly think Dallas is going to have to regroup and rethink some strategies heading into game three, because the way the refs are calling this series so far, Dallas cannot win in Boston. They got to get some foul calls. I just don't think that it's like if they're not getting 30 plus foul shots, like I'm not seeing a clean path for Dallas to get victories. They got to get their post players involved. Like it's just that simple. If the post players can't get involved, then they need more shooting, and it's like chicken or the egg situation in a sense. But Dallas needs more scoring outside of Luka, and based off of what I watched the game, obviously, and then I watched the replay of it, and it was even more glaring that it was a blowout. But even then, it wasn't just an anomaly blowout. It was just the fact that matchup wise, the guys were not as open as they could have appeared to be. It's like they were even more covered on the replay watching it through on the tape side. So, yeah, the Dallas got a lot to sort through. So we'll see what Jason Kidd comes back with. But to me, this feels more along the lines of ride the Celtics, starters between White and Holiday and the captain, rolling Luka, rolling Tatum, and then pick your pump plays and go from there. So anyway, that'll do it for me. Enjoy the game. Hopefully we get a good one. We got Stanley Cup on tomorrow night as well, so should be a good week of sports. So that's all for now. Have a good one, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.